Well, welcome to the Fields Church. We are so glad that you could join us today for Mother's Day, and we are so excited to have everybody here join us with today, those that brought your moms, even your mother-in-laws, if you brought them with you. So we're glad to have you, Charleston. My name's Evan Courtney. I'm one of the pastors here, and this is my wife, Katie Courtney. And we wanted to let you know before we dove into today's message is that next week we are having water baptisms. And so water baptism is an outward expression of an inward decision that you made. So if you have a real relationship with Jesus and you've made that decision, water baptism is your next step. And you can sign up for that this week in your info card or going online to thefields.guide to sign up for water baptism. That's your greatest next step for you to take to let everybody else know about your real relationship. Now, where we wanted to kick off today is we are continuing a teaching series that we're going to continue to walk through today for Mother's Day. And the series is called Arrows. And so a little bit about us and our family is I want Katie, we're going to put a picture of our family up here. And Katie, if you could talk a little bit about who's our kids, their ages, and maybe even like your story with it being Mother's Day of what it means of like becoming a mom and what kind of that experience is and what that looks like.
Yeah, so if you look at the picture, we've got our son Ethan. He's 9 years old. He is all sports all the time. And then we have our little girl, Lainey. She is 5. She is the exact opposite. She is Little Miss Princess, girly girl, everything pink, everything purple. So that's our family. Becoming a mother, I was trying to think of something funny to reference here, but really what just really tugs my heart is I remember Ethan was literally 28 hours old. We'd just gotten home from the hospital. He cried for the first time, and it was still, you know, that season where it took two of us to change his diaper, and he's laying on this brand new diaper changing table, and I just start bawling. And this is totally not characteristic of me. I don't cry easily, and it caught Evan off guard, and he's just like, Katie, what's wrong? And I am just like blubbering of, he's 28 hours old. We've just lost a day with him. He's going to be leaving us soon. You know, at 28 hours old, I am already feeling that tug of, you know what, God has gifted him to us, and we are going to reach that point of having to release him. And granted, 28 hours old was a little bit too soon to be worrying about that, but that is just really one of those moments where I recognized that time in my life where I am a mother, and it is my job to just grow him into the person God has called him to be.
Yeah, so I kind of remembered like even before that, so like as we're leaving the hospital, and so first kid, you're leaving the hospital, and they just like give you the baby, and you walk out, and you put the baby in the car seat, and I just kind of remember looking back in the nursing, thinking like, where's the instruction manual? Like within 24 hours, they're handing me a human being, like I don't even know how to change the clock on the microwave, and yet you're handing me this human being with no set of instructions. So just like a really, like, man, a really shocking moment. And then I remember when we were pregnant with our second child, and we're going into the ultrasound. And so when we go into the ultrasound, I kind of just had this arrogance of like, hey, yeah. Like I, back then, like the gender reveals wasn't like hitting with these balls and exploding of colors or pop. Like the gender reveal was me and you and the ultrasound person. And that was our gender reveal. And it was this picture of this alien that they said was our kid. And so I kind of remember sitting there with Ethan, he was 3 or 4 at the time, and looking at the ultrasound thinking, yeah, you know what? I don't need her. Like I just need this picture and I can do the gender reveal. And so I remember them showing the picture and I'm leaning forward like of trying to figure out what is the gender of this child. And I lean forward and I go, wow, it's a boy. And the lady, the technician looks at me like, sir, you're an idiot, looks at me and goes, sir, that's the umbilical cord. And so that's the day we found out that we were having a girl, and I became very, very nervous because my life kind of flashed 16 years ahead to her being a teenager. Not the nervousness of her being a teenager, but the nervousness of knowing teenage boys. So that's kind of like where we are, kids, 9-year-old and 4-year-old now. And so we do recognize today that there are moms in here and their grandmothers in here. And those that are wanting to have kids, we realize that there's those that have lost kids that haven't had kids yet. And so what we want to do is today of what we want to talk about is we want it to be encouraging to you that you don't walk out thinking, I don't have kids, I can't have kids. And we recognize that and we want to be sensitive to that. But we want to do challenge you is that there are kids in your life that you can invest in. So when we talk about things today and challenge you, think about who are nieces and nephews, who are kids in your neighborhood, what are kids here at church that you can invest in? Maybe you start serving in our next gen ministries of birth through 18 and you find an area that you can invest in. So think through it of those lens of what are the kids around me that God has put into my life that I can make an impact in? And so that's where we are. And so we know, like, when we were without kids, I feel like we thought we had a really, really busy schedule. And we felt like, oh, man, we don't have a lot of time for things. We're so busy. And, like, now that we have kids, we realize what busyness is, of trying to balance work, life, and family. And there's no way that you can balance that. And we always laugh kind of when we hear individuals without kids talk about how busy their schedule is. And we're like, you have no idea what is coming your way. And so we're continuing this series of arrows of living towards the target. And so we kind of as looking at arrows, now, like I've not ever shot a bow and arrow. I've never even picked one up except earlier today. I was trying to figure out like which way do I hold this. So I've never really shot anything. I really haven't shot a gun. I remember when we were kids and we lived out on the llama farm, my dad bought me a BB gun, and he gave me that, and I was so bad a shot, I couldn't hit birds, I couldn't hit bunnies. Anything that was moving, I couldn't hit. So I remember kind of resulting to like tin cans. I was like, hey, I can set this tin can up and shooting it off. And I remember one time I set a tin can on top of the propane tank, and I was shooting at that, and I thought, maybe that's not the best idea in the world. So the other thing is like, I remember when me and you, I don't know if it was the Mother's Day or Father's Day, but somehow we ended up in the backyard of your parents' house, and they decided, they were shooting off guns and stuff, and they were like, hey, Evan, Katie, you guys want to shoot guns? We're shooting clay pigeons outside.
Which are not birds. I thought they were clay birds that were being thrown up in the air.
Yeah, she thought we were throwing these clay birds into the air that people would shoot. And so I had never really fired a gun like that, so I shoot at them. I don't know. I'm sure I missed them. So then Katie takes the gun, has no idea about the kickback. So she fires and shoots. I have no idea where it went. But then behind us was me, your brother, your brother-in-law, and your dad, my father-in-law. And so we were standing behind her. She shoots, and then it kind of kicks back. And then I don't know if she, like, turned us to, like, how did I do? And she turns like this, and she turns the gun towards us, and all of us, like, hit the deck. So we don't know a lot about shooting or arrows and guns, but today, the good thing is we're not talking about that. We're talking about family and shooting arrows of family. And so the first week, Pastor Travis talked about aim of like with your family, like what are you aiming for? Last week we talked about release, that you have to release the arrow, that you can't hang on to the arrow forever. Like you've got to release the arrow. And today what we want to talk about is the rhythm. Of what the rhythm of shooting arrows, of pulling the bow back, what does this rhythm look like? And so a rhythm is a strong, regular, a repeated pattern of movement or sound. And so that's a rhythm. What's this repeated movement of sound? And so what happens is in society today, we're just like, our schedules fill up so fast, our weeks fill up, and we don't have any intentionality. And so there's not this kind of this rhythm to our life. We're just so, we're busy. And I think today, if you ask somebody, how did your week go? 9 times out of 10 people are going to say, oh, I was really busy. Like we take this badge of honor of busyness as, oh man, I must be doing something important in life because I'm busy. And if I don't say I'm busy, then it looks like I'm not doing something. So maybe you feel that same way. It's like you've got kids' activities, sports, work meetings. You're trying to fit in family things today, and it's just like your calendar and your life is busy. and there's days and weeks and years are flying by with no intentionality. So the question isn't how do we get more time, it's what do we do with the amount of time that we have. And so rhythm is how we arrange that time. And so every family has a rhythm of how you arrange that time, whether you do it on purpose or not, that just happens. So let's dive in to see what the Bible says about this time and what our rhythm should be. And so we're going to look at here is first in Psalms 127, it says, children are born to a young man, are like arrows in a warrior's hand. So the kids are the arrows, and the parents were the archers, or were the warriors. And so I like what he says two verses before this. In the second verse, it goes, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. And so a couple things here is, if our kids are the arrows, there's two types of arrows. There's early morning arrows, and there's late night or night owl arrows. And so just to know, like, all of your arrows are different. All of your kids are different. And not to feel the pressure to put your kid into being a certain kind of arrow. That's what I'm reading from here. It's like there's different types of individuals, so don't force them to be something. When God created the world, you know, he didn't create a million llamas, which would be amazing, by the way. No, he created all different types of animals. So he's not saying getting up is bad, and he's not saying going to bed late at night is bad. But what he's saying is if you get up early and stay up late, that is bad, and that's not what God intended for us, and it messes up the rhythm. So what you do is you actually end up burning the candle at both ends, and your rhythm is this busyness and this schedule. And so there is a time for everything, and there is a rhythm to everything. And I like what this Ecclesiastes verse is, and it kind of, you can feel this rhythm and this pattern that God has ordained for us in our lives that we have to figure out. And he says this, he goes, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace. And he continues to go on, and you can kind of just see this cadence. You can see this rhythm that's built into it. And so God designed us for a rhythm. And so now the rhythm that God has for us is custom for each one of us. He's designed a specific one. There's no one-size-fit-all rhythm. So because the calling on your life is different than the calling on my life, and the calling on your kids' life is different than the kids that live next door to you. And so your family calling is different, so your rhythm's going to be different. So don't compare yourself to the person sitting next to you and what they're doing with their schedule, because you're completely different. God has called you differently. So what we want to talk about today is, like, how do you create that family rhythm? And there's five things that we want to look at. And the first one we have to start with is this, is write out a vision. Like, parents, I think we're really, really good at rules, but we're poor at vision. So what happens is if we have all rules and no vision in our family, it leads to rebellion in our kids. Look at Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, think about it in your family. When there's no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision in your family, your family isn't pointed towards something, your kids will perish. Your kids will just go off. They'll rebel. They won't have anything inside of them to live for because of this. Look, your kids don't only need rules to live by, but they also need a reason to live for. So your family has to be shooting towards something. What are they living for? Give them that vision. Katie, what are some things do you think that we've been able to kind of use, or do you think in general, like, families needing some kind of vision, something to shoot towards?
Yeah, and again, I want to echo what Evan said. What works for us and what we do, it's all about the intentionality behind it. So the first thing that came to mind was that long-term vision. I feel like God had planted this vision within me from a young age. From a young age, I knew that I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and that kind of set the tone and set the trajectory for the type of man I was going to marry. I wanted a man that was going to support that, see the value in that. I wanted somebody that just recognized that calling that God had placed on my life. I also knew that I wanted to pursue a college degree. So that was a tricky conversation to have with my potential husband at the time of, I eventually want to leave the workforce, but I want to go ahead and have a degree assigned to my name. So 4.5 years later, I graduated with a degree in education to really only use it in the classroom setting for...
3 years.
3 years. 3 years. We kind of joke about it now. And we honestly didn't know God's plan for those 3 years I was teaching. We lived a lifestyle where we knew our trajectory was that I was going to stay home with our kiddos once they were born. I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. So the decisions that we made as far as the type of house we were going to buy, the type of cars we would drive, the vacations we would go on, we had to filter them through. Okay, is this going to allow us to be able to meet that goal of Katie staying home with our kids? And so I've been a stay-at-home mom since the day before Ethan was born. It's just that is the trajectory that we felt like God had for us. And Ethan went into kindergarten. Lainey was about 2 years old. I started working with One Hope, who you've heard of as one of our missions partners. It's an incredible opportunity, but it's an opportunity that allows me to work from home. And also I'm using my degree in a way that I never imagined. Short term, I know the days with your kiddos may seem long, but the years are short. We've got 18 years to help them grow to be the people that God is calling them to be. So we challenge ourselves to list out, whether it's a mental list, a physical list, what type of kids are we raising these kids to be, and kind of group them into targets. And for us, those three targets are that we are a family that's continuously growing in our relationship with Christ, that we live a life of generosity, and that we experience life as a family. And I feel like when you have those set targets, you're able to filter out some of the noise that tries to take over, and the decisions you make, you're just thinking, is that helping us reach that target? Did you have something?
Nope. And so I think we actually, here's one of the tools that we use to help us. Kind of, it's more like an accountability tool for us, and the kids like checking off things. And so Katie found this idea, or created this idea, of every quarter we're going to write down what are the things that we want to do to make sure that we're big on having experiences for the kids, less on possessions and more on experiences. So this helps us to know, hey, these are experiences that we want to have, and so we put it on a board, and they know that it's sitting there, and they oftentimes will remind us, hey, we were going to go sing Christmas carols, and we didn't sing Christmas carols. So they kind of, it's more accountability on us of like, hey, let's do these things, and we check mark those. So.
Yeah, and I think, if you look at this list, not every season are we able to check everything off the list, and that's okay. But what this helps us do is to just be intentional with what we want. It's not what school's wanting added. It's not what sports schedules are. It's not what extended family wants. It's not what our friends want. But it causes us to stop and look at what we want. And it also causes us to just be intentional with our time. It's intentional with, we've got this chunk of time. What off the list could we do? If you look at this list, majority of it doesn't cost that much. So don't think, oh, we can't do this because we can't do something every season, go somewhere every season. We're getting ready to make our summer list, and I guarantee you, in the top five, it is going to be water balloon baseball, because that's just something we do. It costs 98 cents for a bag of balloons. Lainey's hitting the balloons off the tee. We're tossing the water balloons to Ethan. It's just something that we enjoy doing together as a family, and we are making a point to do that.
Good. So that's write down a vision. So for us, this is what writing down a vision looks like. So it doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be a mission statement with all these values written. This helps us keep pointed. So the next one is how to create a rhythm is to create a schedule. So now that you kind of have this vision and you know what you want to do, create a schedule. So Psalms 90, 12 says this, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So you have a limited amount of days. So what are you going to do in those days? So we have a limited amount of time, and once you spend it, it's gone. So how can we be more strategic about what we're doing on those days? And so check this out, is tell your time where to go instead of wondering where it went. So what I want to challenge you is to tell yourself, like, what are you doing on Monday? Instead of looking back and saying, what happened to Monday? So you're in charge of your calendar. Nobody else is. If you get overbooked, it's your fault. Nobody else's. You can say no just like you can say yes. I love what the New York Times bestseller and Christian author Bob Goss says. He says this: every single Thursday, I quit something. And so what he does is he just gets in the pattern of saying no, like, I'm going to say no to things. So don't fall into the trap of thinking, you know what, my life's the exception to that. You just don't understand, Evan. I just got a lot of busy things. I do understand. I have two jobs. Casey stays home. She works another job. We have kids. We have sports. We have church. And we get that. So I don't think there's an exception to that. So here's typically how, if we want to get really practical, of how a typical schedule happens, of filling out a schedule, is the first thing that we put up here, we can go ahead and click on that, is we fill in our calendar with work. And then the next thing is this, is that we put in kind of these family, like, hey, this is sporting events. This is maybe there's a night here of sports, and there's sports on, you know, or some kind of family activity on the 18th. And then the next thing that we add on is, hey, what are some other activities that we're part of? And then we look at this and say, okay, now, like, we want to go to church. Well, we've already got this booked with some kind of activity, or we want to get into a group, but. So what happens is it just begins to fall apart, and in your schedule and what's left, you're saying is for, where God fits into this. And so I think a different way is to kind of flip that upside down. And Matthew 6:33 outlines this and says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Other version says, seek God's kingdom first. So I think a different way of doing your calendars is looking at the things that you value and putting those on first. So I think what you could do is saying, you know what, we value God and getting together with God's people is, hey, I'm gonna put number one on my schedule. It's gonna be, I'm gonna go to church, and I'm gonna go to the 10:45 service, and I'm gonna get involved into a group, and so I'm gonna put that down. And then the next step is I'm gonna put some family activities, like I want to have a meal together as a family 3 times a week. So let's go ahead and put that up. And then I want to have like a family day out. We're gonna go do something or have something at home, but just say it's for family, and we're gonna put that on Saturday. And now you can fill it in with those other things, like, hey, now here's work. And now I can look at the schedule and say, okay, now based on this, there's sporting activity or this school event coming up that our kids can be a part of or they can't. Does that work into this schedule? And so if it does, you can plug it in. If it doesn't, you can say, you know what? We've already outlined our values. It doesn't fit into there. It doesn't get onto the calendar. And so the next thing is this, like, you're the gatekeeper of your calendar, is that not everything that you can do means that you should do. Just because you can do it doesn't mean that you should do it, because it'll overload your schedule. So you have to think about what are you aiming at? So if the target for you is a bigger house, then your schedule is going to reflect that, so you can make more money to get that bigger house. If you value a life of generosity and that's your target, then your schedule is going to reflect that. Can you talk a little bit about what we've had to do with our schedule, and maybe even like Ethan and him being invited to be on these teams and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think it all circles back to setting a vision. So just as a reminder, our 3 targets are that our family is continuously growing in the relationship with Christ, that we live generously, and that we experience life. So anything that we are adding to our schedule, we need to filter through those targets. Is this setting our trajectory to hit that target? So yes, Ethan, sports. Stay with me, okay? We love sports. Ethan loves playing sports. Evan loves coaching sports. I love cheering for Ethan. Lainey loves snow cones. So we love going to sporting events. Ethan's athletic. He's good at it. It's something that he genuinely needs. We can tell a difference in his behavior just whenever we're on break from sports. It's something that we as a family find value in. But if we left it up to Ethan, he would be on multiple, he would be in multiple sports. He would, if we left it up to other people, he would be on multiple traveling teams. And so it's up to us as the parent where we're just stopping and we're pausing and saying, okay, if we sign up for this, we're committing to this. So we're committing resources, we're committing to practice time, we're committing to game schedules. Okay, is this going to help us reach that goal that we have set for our life?
Good. So I think the third thing on creating a rhythm for your family is to define discipline. And so having discipline is essential for shooting that arrow straight. So you've got to have a discipline. And Proverbs 13:24 outlines it this way. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. So if you hate your kid, don't discipline them. That's what they're saying. If you love your kid, discipline them. So discipline is actually an act of love. And I love what Proverbs 3 says, for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as the father corrects a child in whom he delights. One of the ways that you show your kids that you love them is by disciplining them in a loving and a correct way. And the way to destroy them as a person is to not discipline them correctly, which would be such as not disciplining or disciplining in vengeance or in anger or just being ruthless. And so a discipline is actually a part of conditioning the arrow so that when you launch it, it will fly straight. And so it's a discipline to be able to do that. And so I kind of wrote down three things of talking about discipline. The first one is this is, you got to have a united front. So if you're married and your spouse is in your, you know, and you guys are in the same household, I realize if you're single parents, it's difficult. So you have a united front and you have to try to figure something out with that. It's difficult. But if you're together, like be on the same page. What that means is that you don't say, wait, you just wait until your dad comes home. Yeah, that sets me up real great to be the good guy after a long day of work, and I walk in like, hey, you need to deal with him. But don't say that. But and also is don't trump each other. So don't trump each other. If one person says one thing, the other says, no, we're not doing that, we're doing this. So you have that united front. The second one is this, is to be consistent. So whatever it is, whatever is in your discipline, be consistent. So whatever is a foul today can't be a touchdown tomorrow. Whatever is wrong today can't be right tomorrow. And then the last one is this, is follow through with it. So with arrows, it's very important to have follow through. So when you pull the arrow back and you release, your hand just doesn't stop there. It's kind of like baseball when you're throwing a baseball. When you let go of the baseball, you just don't stop your hand there. But what do? You follow through. So like when you shoot a basketball, after the ball leaves your hand, what happens? Your hand follows through. So shooting an arrow, I was reading up on shooting arrows. And when you release and let go, what you're doing is you're following through and that hand is pulling back and it's actually supposed to brush across your cheek. That's the follow through. And you'll shoot straighter, you'll throw straighter, you'll actually shoot a basketball straighter when you have good follow through. Because without follow through, it's just idle threats. You know, we've all made the idle threats. Like, I don't know any dad that hasn't said, don't make me turn this car around on vacation. You're not going to turn the car around. Like, we know it, they know it. There's no way you're turning the car around. Like, you've planned this, you spent money. We actually dealt with this a couple months ago. We went to Disney, and one of our kids was acting up, and we're actually at the airport getting ready to go onto the plane to Disney World. So you know I'm going to turn this plane around. There's none of that, and so we're at the airport, and we had to make a decision of, like, are we going to discipline them, and how are we going to discipline them in this public space of this airport, and then we're getting ready to go to Disney. And so we have to have follow-through, because you're really expressing love. So what are some of the ways, like, of us kind of with discipline that you think as a mom is probably pretty important?
Yeah, for me, this is definitely an area I quickly had to grow in. As a kid, and my parents can attest to this, I was the easy kid. I can't wait for my siblings to hear this. Hello, Britt and Betsy. I was the easy kid. My parents could just give me the look, and whatever behavior that I was doing would stop, would be adjusted. It was that's all they needed to do. So fast forward into motherhood, I found myself being, you know, hurt, just fighting with myself because my kids did not inherit my genetic makeup in this department. I give them the look, the behavior continues. I didn't know what to do. I had to actually follow through with the discipline, and I learned that this is an act of love. And again, I think it goes back to vision. What characteristics are you wanting instilled into your children? We could spend all day disciplining our kids. We've got one kiddo that eats potato chips like he's a woodchuck. And so, you know, it's not a two-bite chip. It's not a Papa Cheeto in your mouth. It is, he puts it up and then it's this. And it's messy. It drives me bonkers. Is that going to affect the trajectory of his life? No. So I'm going to handle that situation differently than how we're going to handle a disrespectful attitude, disobedience, dishonesty. And we've also learned, having a boy and a girl, that, and having two kids in general, that we have to customize how we discipline our children for each. It is not this cookie cutter version. We have to take into consideration their personality types. We have to take into consideration that we have a boy and we have a girl. We can tell them the same exact thing in the same exact tone, but how they interpret that is completely different. Evan and my relationship with our kids is different. We're different people. So even though we're on the same page on the actions that need discipline, our approach might look a little different. And I think we also hone in on the fact that discipline is our opportunity to show Christ's love to our kids, that we're able to exemplify grace, and that we're also able to exemplify forgiveness, that we can have those conversations of, you know, Mommy's sad that you decided to do that, but no matter what you do, Mommy could not love you any more, and Mommy could not love you any less. And, you know, just having those conversations of what forgiveness and grace looks like.
Yeah, I think the opportunity to show grace is like when they deserve a certain discipline and sitting down and saying, I'm giving you grace right now, and then explaining what that is of, I'm giving you something by you not doing this X or whatever the discipline was supposed to be. And you're saying, I'm giving you grace instead. I'm giving you something you don't deserve. They deserved X, but instead I'm giving you Y. I'm showing you grace. And I think that's a great opportunity for you to be able to show them that, to continue to model what, like Christ, like we deserve something and he did something for us and he provided grace for us and gave us something different than that we deserved. The next one is this, on how to create a rhythm, is regular rest. And so Ecclesiastes 10 talks about this. It says, using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. And so what you have to do is to think your life is a sharp axe. And so if I'm taking a sharp axe and I'm going into the forest and the first tree I hit, it's a sharp axe. Every tree after that I try to cut down. My axe is getting duller and duller and duller after every tree, and it's taking more strength after that first tree because the axe is getting duller, so it's taking more strength. So what regular rest is you have to stop, pause, and sharpen the blade. Like you have to take time and say, you know what, I'm gonna stop cutting these trees so I can sharpen the blade so it's easier to cut trees. And I know that math doesn't work, but at the end of it, you're gonna be able to knock down more trees. And that's the same with your life, with your schedules. You've gotta pause. You've got to put margin in your life so that your life isn't filled up to the end of the page. Because what happens is you want to provide margin in your schedule so that you can take those opportunities that come at hand that you normally wouldn't be able to take. And so for us, there was 6 or 7 years ago, there was this hurricane that was heading down towards Louisiana and New Orleans. And so we knew this hurricane was coming, like, you know, days in advance. And so we actually contacted one of our missions partners, Convoy of Hope. They do disaster relief. And they said, yes, we're going into that area as the hurricane is pulling out. If you guys want to meet us there, you can be a part of this. So within 24 hours, we were able to contact a couple people in the church, a couple of our pastors, jumped into an RV, and spent 5 days. As this hurricane pulled out, we were immediately one of the first responders in there. And so we were only able to do that, and the people in this church were only able to do that because they allowed margin in their schedule. If they were, you know, if they would have said, you know what, man, my schedule's completely booked up, they wouldn't have had that margin, and they would have missed an incredible opportunity. And so I was reading about the Team USA archer. The coach talks about this rest and talks about breathing and talks about that right before you shoot an arrow, you take in a full 100% of your breath and you take it in. And then when you pull the arrow back, you release 50% of your air. And then when you let go, when you're doing your follow through, you release the other 50%. So the correct method of breathing is an essential part, he says, of aiming the arrow. And so for us to shoot arrows straight, we have to have this regular rest. So what, for you, Katie, what's that kind of look like, or how do you help us as a family have that regular rest?
Yeah, I feel like my position, I need to own this space. You know, ladies, we're married to these incredible men that are working incredibly hard, and they are looking through this lens of wanting to provide for their families. Men, you need to hear this. We're not nagging when we talk about family days. We're not nagging when we're talking about vacation. It is us saying, we see how hard you're working. We love your heart and wanting to provide for our family, but we want to release you from that expectation of us just wanting stuff, and we just want time with you. We just want to spend that time with you. Ladies, I feel like we're just kind of that barometer. We need to recognize when that time for our family just to be is needed before it is needed. You know, we need to be intentional about just that time that we can have with each other, and that opportunity to relax for us. If we stay at home, chances are we're going to end up working. We're going to be doing something around the house. We might retreat to different areas of the house. And inevitably, it's going to end with the kiddos squabbling. So for us, we need to remove ourselves from our home, get in a place where I don't have to clean the house, get in a place where he can just check out from work, and that we can just be and kind of put ourselves in that bubble of just the four of us, where we don't know anybody else. It's just the four of us, and we have to have those, we have to have conversations with each other. We have to engage with each other. So that's just kind of how we do that.
So then let's go to the last rhythm to create, and the most fun one is the steady romance. So Proverbs 5:18. He says this: let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. And so pursue the one that you have already caught. So don't allow the familiarity of each other lead to lack of intimacy. So don't allow, being with that person all the time to die that out. So any relationship, friend relationship, a marriage relationship, what happens is this thing called drift. And it immediately happens, and you don't have any intention on it. You know, you may have an aim and a direction, but due to the regularity of being with that person, you always kind of lean, and there's a drift that goes away from that person. The NFL football coach, famous football coach Vince Lombardi, says it this way: when you've strayed away from the basics, you've gone a long ways towards defeat. So during engagement, during courting or whatever it is, like, you're doing the basics. You're dating, you're courting, you're thinking about that person. And then what happens is you get busy. You get busy with work. You get busy making kids. You get busy paying the bills. And you get busy and other things come in. And the natural course is to drift. And so you know you're drifting when you start saying things inside of you of, it just doesn't feel the same. Things aren't clicking. It's not what it used to be. And you get into the mundane. And so what you have to do is do a course correction. Now, how many would say that your marriage is important enough to put 1% of your time towards it? Yeah, all of us would. And so 1% of your week is an hour and 40 minutes. So what if you said, you know what, to keep this steady romance, I'm going to focus an hour and 40 minutes on this relationship, because you are automatically drifting. And so the hour and 40 minutes would be course correction. And so this is an hour and 40 minutes together without kids, not talking about calendar, not talking about kids, not talking about bills. This could be in the house, out of the house, on a date, not on a date, but just start somewhere because of this natural drift. Now, I won't talk more about steady romance because my Katie's mom and my in-laws are in the room, so we'll just kind of leave it at that. But what do you think, Katie? Like, what's some of those things with steady romance?
Yeah, probably a year ago. Yeah, it was about a year ago. Ethan and I signed up for the Survivor Challenge at the Y. And about that time, we started trying different classes that the Y offered. And while this is not this huge romantic gesture, and probably half the time we can't even talk to each other, we really recognize that spending this intentional time together has strengthened our marriage. Again, it has nothing to do with the why. It's not some magical thing that happens when you walk through those doors, but it's what it represents. For us, we're protecting that time that we have together. For me, I don't have mom guilt when I walk in because my kiddos enjoy going and they like playing and being in child watch, so I can just release myself from that. I know Evan is going to show up, and again, it's just something we're doing together. Evan was traveling a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh, we'll still go to the Y, I'll still go to class. And while I enjoy going, the desire to go just wasn't there because, you know, this is something we do together. I enjoy, like, showing up, and he's there, and we're able to talk and chat. You know, I enjoy spending that time with him.
Yeah, so we've been doing that. It's like three classes a week, and we've been doing it for a year. And this was actually the first time that I've really ever exercised on a regular basis. I know what you're thinking. Like, you've been looking at me like, wow, like, you're really buff. Like, I can't believe this is the first time that you've actually been to a gym. And so, actually, I've got a hint for you guys to help you today. Like, instead of going to the gym, if you want to look buff, what you can do is just wear one t-shirt size smaller. So that can help you. So that was just one of the things that we've done to kind of help that. Like, we go and work out, and it's just us together. Now, there are probably 18 other people in that room, but it was something that we did together. And so that's one of the ways. So what you have to do in this whole of creating this rhythm is it has to be intentional about your time instead of wondering where your time went. And building a good rhythm will be able to do that because you're busy, I'm busy, we all kind of have that, we're all busy. And so we have to create a rhythm. And so look at this last verse I want to share. It's Joshua 24. He's talking about this. For me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And he's saying, like, this is what we're doing. This is our banner. So could you imagine if all of the families in here, all of the singles in here said, you know what? I'm going to create a rhythm for my family. I'm going to create a rhythm so I can shoot these arrows straight. I'm going to develop some values. I'm going to create a schedule. I'm going to define the discipline. I'm going to have rest, and I'm going to have steady romance. Could you imagine what would happen to our church, to our community, if all of the families in here did that? Because we're the archers, and we're shooting in a rhythm these arrows off, and we want them to go straight. Let's pray together. God, I pray right now that you'd bless families, that you would give them your grace. I pray for the individuals in this room that don't have kids. I pray today that maybe today is a hard day, that you'd give them your blessing and your grace and your mercy. I pray that you would give them your love today. I pray that you'd help families, that they would look at this list and see one of these things that they need to take and to run with and to develop a rhythm in their life that they can look back and say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. In your name, amen. So the only way for you to get rhythm in your family is to start by setting a rhythm for yourself. And so maybe today that you've realized that you don't have a relationship with God, and God wants to have a relationship with you, and you have drifted. So since once you're born, immediately what happens is a drift away from God happens. And today you can take a course correction of changing that drift and coming back to God or having a relationship with God for the first time. And so today, if that's you, and you can say, you know what, Evan, I need a course correction. I've been drifting. Today, I want to follow after God. I want to seek God. I don't know what all that means, but today I want to tell him, I want to surrender my life to you. Forgive me for going away from you, for going against you, and I want to have a real relationship with you. If that's you right now, I want you to pray with me.